The second thing, it says that he is not the Son of God. Allah does not have a Son of God. Go to 1 John just for a second. 1 John chapter 4. And let me show you something that is key. And, you know, I'm going to use the phrase that this is a demonic trio. Muhammad is demonic, Allah is demonic, and the Quran is demonic. I stand based upon the authority of the Word of God. I'm not trying to be politically correct. I'm not trying to be popular among anybody. And I understand. I understand what I'm saying puts me on the edge for a potential of having a fatwa or a death threat. I just tell whoever they want to come, I got about 18 guardian angels. Bring it on. If God wants me into heavens, I'd just soon go to heaven. You know, but I believe these men who have been speaking out, though I don't agree theologically with all of them, Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, Franklin Graham, I don't agree methodology with some of them, but I want to tell you something. They have taken a stand and they've stood forward to say that this is a satanic religiosity that is perpetrating our entire world with a philosophy that is going to be that which I believe brings us to the end of time. And in the next 2 days, I'm going to show how that all comes together and the final solution for it as we study together. If you got 1 John chapter 4, let me show you something. Verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Man, it looks like Paul and John both writing to about today. Like never before. They were so up to date, though they wrote almost 2,000 years ago. Verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Can there be anything more plain than that? Now he's an Antichrist. President George W. Bush, you're dealing with Antichrist. I'm sorry, excuse me. I get a bit incensed when we're just standing playing around. We got a bunch of Christians that are fighting each other. Somebody told me about one Christian putting out a newspaper article about the new president of Dallas Seminary because he made supposedly a statement not to support Israel. So what? What does that have to do with the faith and fight that we're in? Paul says, I fought the fight. I finished the course. I've run the race. And what did he say? Up there just a verse or two before, he says, Timothy, this is what I've done, but you do what I did also. Preach the word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, boy, you know the persecutions I went through. Man, I was dead one time and I was raised from the dead. Preach the word. And we've got to do that. And we've got to make... I want to wind your clock. I want you to be as angry at the devil as you can be, and I hope I can make you that way before you walk out of here. Because this is what's happening, and this is the world we're in, and we got to warn the people. I'm not afraid of Islam. Oh, it says we're going to live in perilous times. We'll look in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in a moment. And these are perilous times. I'm not afraid of the devil to the extent that he's going to get the victory. I do respect the devil. By the way, Moses respected the devil. Moses didn't even... You know something else? The angel, not Gabriel, but Michael, he respected the devil too. Book of Jude, he said, when it came to getting the body of Moses, I didn't deal with the devil. I respect him, but I'm not afraid of him because he that liveth in me is greater than he that liveth in the world. And so we've got to... understand this. We've got to understand the times in which we're living. We have got to go forth and teach the people what is going on. I'm sorry, I'm chasing some rabbits here. 1 John says, he that says that Christ was not the Son of God in the flesh is an antichrist. So I submit to you the Quran, Muhammad, and Allah are all of antichrist in the day in which we're living. Let's conclude our time together by looking at 2 Timothy just for a moment. Again, I want us to see 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want us to see what the Word of God says. I want us to see. Look at, remember the context of 2 Timothy chapter, 2 Timothy rather, chapters 1 through 4. Chapter 4, this is the swan song of the Apostle Paul. 30 years of ministry. I love his testimony. You know what his first testimony was? I am the least of the apostles. You know what? Midway through his ministry of 30 years, he said, I am the least of the saints. You know what he said at the end of the ministry? I'm teaching 2 Timothy. There's a master in Timothy back there. His statement was, I am the chief of all sinners. Yeah. What motivated Paul? I believe it's chapter 4, verse 8. There's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. A crown of righteousness, not for me only, but for all of those who eagerly anticipate, eagerly wait for the coming of Jesus Christ. One of the crowns, one of the five crowns, the crown of righteousness that literally at the time, at the end of the judgment seat of Christ, we take these crowns off, and Revelation chapter 4, verse 10 says, we lay them at His feet in thanksgiving for what He's done. I can, as they say down in Louisiana, guarantee that I'm going to have a crown of righteousness because I eagerly anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in this context now that He, as He disciples Timothy, He gives us chapter 3. And I think that there's some unbelievable connections to what we're talking about this week. Verse 1, chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days, and I happen to believe that this is referring to the days in which we are living, in the last days, perilous times shall come. I might have made this statement, I'll make it again. September the 11th, 2001. The cap was taken off the bottle. The genie escaped, never, ever to be put back in the bottle. September the 11th, 2001 was the first day of the end of time, in my opinion, the beginning of the end. Never in the history of the world had the Islamic faith had the courage to attack us on our own shores. And the genie was let out of the bottle. It was a historic event that happened, a horrific event that happened, but it was the beginning of the end. I was standing in Milan, Italy, with Joe Jordan. We were in a prophecy conference there. In the course of the prophecy conference, I had just spoken. Joe's getting ready to speak. We're standing there. They're standing and singing. He leans over to me and he said, Jimmy, I have taught for years the second coming of Jesus Christ. This was after September 11th. I have taught for years the rapture of the church. And Joe, one thing I love about that dear brother is he is a Biblist. He is in the book. He teaches the Word of God. He has taught through every book of the Bible. He teaches the Word. And so he is a man disciplined by the Word, dedicated to teaching the Word of God. And you know what he said to me? But now, I feel that it's the time for Jesus to come. And Joe Jordan is not a man of feeling. He's a man based on faith in the book. But he said, I feel it. I talked to Dr. John Walvoord, 93 years of age. I said, Dr. Walvoord, do you believe that the rapture is soon? He said, soon? I believe it's going to be in my lifetime. I talked to Dr. Dwight Pentecost up at Word of Life this summer. We were both there. I was speaking. He was speaking. I said, Dr. Pentecost, man, you have written the Bible on second coming, things to come. What about the rapture? How far away is it? Today. This is where we are. In perilous times. In the last days. Now, how is it going to be? What's it going to be like? Paul's telling us. Okay, let me give you some information.